Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Jim, when talking about the Yankees there, did you say you feel like this didn't impact the game? And what do you mean by that?
I didn't say it didn't impact the game. You know, our opinion is that this didn't impact the game.
No, you quite literally said,
you said that.
This didn't impact the game.
You literally said that.
And by the way, after then saying he didn't say it didn't impact the game, he went on to say it didn't impact the game again.
It didn't impact the game. I mean, I know I was drunk, but who's to say that impacted the car accident I got in? Who's to say? I might have gotten that accident anyway.
Right, exactly.
Who's to say? Who could possibly say?
I was driving drunk, but it was raining. And people get in accidents when it's raining all the time. I could have gotten in that accident if I was sober.
Accidents happen all the time. Who can account for them? You fraud.
Here's what's tough for me. You got two players up there on the podium apologizing, but you're telling me it's not the player's fault and they shouldn't be held accountable.
Oh, yeah.
Why are players apologizing if it's not their fault and they shouldn't be held accountable? You know why? Because it was their fault and they should be held accountable.
So they should be.
They're big boys and they're adults and they knew what they were doing. And they benefited immensely from it. The two guys, don't forget, that stepped up to the podium to talk today to apologize, I'll use in air quotes, have both recently won MVP awards during this cheating scandal.
Alex Bregman, homered off a Steven Strasburg changeup. Doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very often, is what I'll say. Now, Alex Bregman's great. But that Steven Strasburg changeup, that doesn't really get hit very much. Statistically, it's as dominant a pitch as there is in Major League Baseball. Mike Rizzo told us it's one of the best pitches in the sport, just in terms of exit velocity, expected batting average, and all the different metrics that they use. And he homered off a changeup. Wasn't missed spot either. It was down and in. It's kind of where it usually goes.
He hit three home runs and drove in eight runs in the World Series. He almost did the Nationals in. By the way, this is the same guy who carried his bat to first base. Doesn't want a whole lot of attention today. Wanted a lot of attention when he carried that bat to first base.
Never forget when first asked questions about it was as dismissive, condescending, and non-contrite as any human being possibly could be.
So people say, I don't understand, Grant. What do you want them to say? What could have felt satisfying to you? And there probably is nothing that would have led. In fact, I know there's nothing that would have led to me saying, all right, let's move on today. Right. They don't get to choose when we move on. They don't get to tell us to move on because it's day one of the 2020 season. This is going to have a little more life than that, especially when you don't actually have to serve any time. See, I get yelled at and screamed at by people all the time because I'm pretty forgiving and I allow for second and third chances and I'm a little bit of a pushover in that way. When Michael Vick did the terrible things that he did, and then he went to prison and came back and played the National Football League, I was very loudly on whatever radio station I was on at that time saying, Michael Vick served the time for his crime. He should live his life again. This is America. This is what we do. Give this guy an opportunity to be a product to our society. And he ended up being an asset in helping get the word out on dogfighting and in treating animals better. And you can hate him forever until he dies if you want to. That's your prerogative. I'm not going to tell you how to think, but the way I think is, I think that guy regrets what he did. He was remorseful. He literally went to prison for it, and he is a better human being because of it. That's my opinion. The Astros did something bad and have had to do no time. They did something bad, and they are getting off scot-free, and they just want us to act like it didn't happen. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not willing to do that. My new thing that I really care about now is I want to know so desperately did they use buzzers. I want to know if when Jose Altuve, to get to the World Series, to beat the Yankees in the League Championship Series in Game 6 by hitting a home run off Aroldis Chapman and then not letting his teammates rip off his jersey and then going into the dugout to change his clothes, that was the first thing he wanted to do during the celebration. I don't want my jersey pulled off because my wife doesn't let me being shirtless, even though you probably have some like Under Armour or something on.
And whatever. There's so many shirtless pictures of you, you liar.
Let's say you don't like being shirtless, you ripped up model. That's fine. I'd hate to be shirtless if I had abs and a V-taper too, you jerk. But then you go into the dugout to change your clothes and come back out in a T-shirt? You don't change your clothes on the field like every other player has always done? Weird, man. Weird. I want to know if they were using buzzers. They're all not saying that they weren't. They're just saying that the commissioner's report didn't say they used buzzers. I know what the commissioner's report said. Stop referring to it. Did you use a buzzer or not? Answer the question. Altuve was asked about that in the clubhouse.
Yeah, but it's not the first time I do it. If, you know, if we go back and back, I have done it multiple times, and that doesn't mean I have a buzzer. And MLB did their investigation, and you know they didn't find anything. You know they found what they found, and in 2017 they really good investigated. Obviously, they did an investigation on you know the buzzer. They didn't find anything, so you know when you said you don't believe that I didn't have a buzzer, you don't believe in what MLB investigated. So it's definitely going to help us. You know, we are baseball player. We have a lot of stars here. We have a lot of great players here. But don't forget, we are humans. You know, and life is about you know making mistakes and learn from that. You know. I guarantee you this is not going to happen again, you know. Yes, we made a mistake, we did what we did, but that doesn't make us a bad person.
I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm saying you cheated, and I want to know if you used a buzzer. And I don't think in that answer he came out definitively and said we never used buzzers. He commented on the fact that he said it doesn't mean I had a buzzer on that I went down and changed my clothes. Did he at any point in that answer say we did not use buzzers? Did he ever say that?
I don't think so.
He referred to the commissioner's report. The commissioner may not have figured that out. It wasn't on his radar yet. Maybe they didn't dig into that. But they all keep doing this. Jim Crane did it. AJ Hinch did it. Hinch was asked in that MLB Network interview, and this is what really raised my sensor and what started to get the ball rolling for me being more angry than ever. I thought the buzzer thing when it first came out was tinfoil hat stuff. I really did. I didn't buy it. But the more now time has gone on, and players are not definitively coming out saying, we've never done that, we've never used that. And A.J. Hinch said, the commissioner didn't say we used buzzers. I know what the commissioner said. Enough with what the commissioner said. You're here now, adult human being. I'm asking you, did the team use buzzers or not? Now lie to me and tell me no if you want to, but answer the damn question. Mm-hmm. Did you order the code red? I want an answer. And if you want to lie or say, tell the truth and say no, that's fine. But give me a yes or no.
Right.
Stop saying, look at the report. I don't care about the report.
Yeah, you can hide behind that all you want. That's what Crane chose to do. That's what Bregman did the first time. He hid behind the commissioner gave his report. The Astros decided to do what they did. That's not an answer to the question. And they want, again, everyone is so desperate for this to go away. And Major League Baseball is complicit in this ride, by the way. They want it to go away, too, because I think they all agreed. I think they got together. Rob Manfred and his office got together with Jim Crane in his office, and they decided, who can we make the fall guys for this thing? And they came up with four people. And they wanted that to be enough, the pound of flesh. They drastically and dramatically underestimated the hunger and the insatiable appetite that we in the public have for what really went on, B, the extent of this, and who was doing it. Not just who the mastermind was or the lack of leadership was for these innocent children that were led astray by the horrible drug pusher that was Carlos Beltran. No, no, no. We want to know the truth.
Yeah.
We can deal with the truth. The cover-up's always worse. Never forget when Brian Roberts got caught with steroids, he came out and said, yeah, I did that. My bad. Andy Pettit said, yeah, that was my bad. Standing ovations. We can't wait to forgive people. Walk up there, say, we cheated. We got carried away. We kept doing it because it worked so well. We knew it was wrong at the time, but we kept going. Nothing we do now can change that. We are so sorry to the fans, to the other players, including guys that got set down to the minors because we were shellacking them when we knew it was coming, and they were, you know, we're hammering undercooked sliders 500 feet, and we're sorry to Major League Baseball. Nothing we can do about it now. We'll take your questions.
Which is why I keep coming back to the Players Association, who I think has gotten away completely
agreed
free on this.
Agreed.
You've got so many constituents and so many of your players that are mad about this that want something to happen to the Astros. And where are you, Tony Clark, to say, you know what, maybe we should have had a suspension. Baseball doesn't want to suspend these guys because of you. You could have come out and said, we recommend that something does happen to them. By the way, there are a total of four reporters and one camera at Nats camp today at the same facility because all of baseball is dealing with the Astros. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
Yeah, but it's not the first time I do it. If, you know, if we go back and back, I have done it multiple times, and that doesn't mean I have a buzzer. And MLB did their investigation, and you know they didn't find anything. You know they found what they found in 2017. They really good investigated. Obviously, they did an investigation on you know the buzzer. They didn't find anything. So you know when you said you don't believe that I didn't have a buzzer, you don't believe in what MLB investigated. So.
Now, they didn't spend all that money, Jose Altuve, and they didn't do all that investigating to try to determine if you were wearing buzzers. In fact, we didn't know a whole lot about that at that time. They should have stumbled across that if indeed it was happening. And maybe it wasn't, by the way. Maybe you weren't wearing buzzers, but you should say that and not say, well, just read the report. No, thanks. Did you wear a buzzer or not? We got you right here, yes or no.
We read the report. Did you wear any buzzers? Right. Can you read the report? I did. Thanks so much. What about the buzzers, bro?
Right, exactly.
Answer the question about the buzzers.
The Nationals, while the Astros are apologizing on one side of West Palm Beach's complex, are having their first Circle of Trust meeting today with Colma playing in the background from the loudspeakers.
I like that. That's a nice little bit of nostalgia as we move forward.
That's World Series championship stuff. Imagine if they would have been beaten. Imagine the jobs that might have changed hands and the number of things that would have gone differently. Maybe you can't re-sign Steven Strasburg for $245 million if you don't have a windfall of World Series championship money, season ticket sales uptick. Maybe Rizzo, who's due for an extension, going into a contract year, doesn't get it if he hasn't won a championship. This fan base didn't have a signature moment, didn't have a signature run, nothing but disappointments. If you lose to the Astros in the World Series, how much worse off is this organization than having just won this title fair and square? You start to think about those things, and I don't know how you don't get vitriolic and angry and just upset with the Astros, who are trying to turn the page today and pretending like everything just needs to end in the past, and we need to look forward, and it's 2020, so let's start anew. You don't get to determine that. How about this quote here from Carlos Correa? Now, this is via Tyler Kepner. Kepner says, "I don't want my kids, I don't want my brother, I don't want my family members or people who follow me to think that it was right to cheat to be successful. What we did in 2017 was terrible. We all know it, and we feel really bad about it." So first,
there we go.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's what I want. There.
That's the quote. Put him on the podium, not Bregman carrying the bat down to first base, who likes to be a heel and has admitted that. Put Correa up there to give the statement, because he just crushed whatever that was from Alex Bregman. That's number one. Number two, this guy actually sounds like he's contrite. He actually seems like he understands the magnitude of what they did. He said what they did in 2017 was terrible. We all feel bad about it. And this is where I have changed my opinion in the last couple of weeks. And I normally preach consistency and some ability to kind of stay with what you think and to weather some other information. But I don't think changing your mind is necessarily a bad thing in this regard. But I'll apologize that a couple weeks ago when we're debating on the phones, I'm telling you, no, I don't see it that way. I'm not taking away the World Series title. You can't say to me in one sentence, what we did that year was terrible and awful, and in the next second, celebrate a World Series championship. I don't see how those two things can work. So what I'm saying is they shouldn't be able to have banners flying. They shouldn't be able to have flags flying. They shouldn't say World Series champions under their emblem at West Palm Beach. All of that needs to go away. If that means you, quote-unquote, take away a World Series, that's fine. I don't know how you legislate this.
Me either.
But what I do know is you can't tell me that you did terrible things and we're very, very sorry for it, and we all know that they cheated all the way through the World Series. We all know that.
If I'm in the commissioner's
and still
office,
get to celebrate the World Series with a 10- and 20-year anniversary. Sorry, not happening.
Yeah, if I'm in Manfred's office, I'm going, Rob, we underestimated this thing. And it's not too late. Some will write a column about how we dropped the ball the first time. The NFL has gotten through things just like this, right? Where their initial response was nowhere near enough because they're a little bit tone deaf. They thought they were doing the right thing and they weren't close. You can go into some of the incidents, right? And they were less about football than stuff that was off the field. You know what I'm referencing here. But Rob, this scandal's bigger than we thought. Our investigation, we are not a trained investigative body. We're Major League Baseball. We decide how many stitches on the baseball, how high the mound is. We decide road trips and scheduling. We don't know what we're doing here. We're over our head. Call Tony Clark. Call the Players Association. Understand that this is bigger than just what we thought it was. We got to do something about it. Let's come to an agreement right now. We got to start dinging some of these players in some way. We got to figure out what's acceptable with the CBA. We got to figure out a way to not endanger the negotiations that are coming pretty soon down the pike. And right now things are harmonious. We've got to figure something else out because this isn't good enough. We know that it's player driven. You just had an old billionaire stand up there and flip a middle finger to anybody else that knows this information, which is readily available. He's just gone in a big circle and told you, we got the guys responsible. We did it with a mission accomplished flag on his yacht. Oh, my God, no, you didn't.
And he completely made the players the victims in a scandal that baseball's investigation, which you guys love to reference so much, said was player-driven. By the way, Max Scherzer, 16 minutes into his first bullpen session, and according to Mark Zuckerman, just screamed his first curse word, followed by another.
God bless that guy.
It's baseball season, baby.
I just stood up for Max Scherzer. I got a little fogging up the windows here. Max Scherzer, we go down there, the first bullpen. Usually we go down to spring training right around now, like the first couple days. I'm standing up right now, still for Max Scherzer. He's grunting and sweating, and he's pissed off. He's slamming the ball into his glove because he like missed one spot on his 96-mile-an-hour two-seamer as he's humping up and getting himself all nasty for the regular season. Thank God we got that guy and not one of those guys 150 yards away.
Why are you still standing?
It's Max Scherzer.
Baseball season's back. That's why.
Max Scherzer, Grant.
George Springer, Danny. 2017 MVP of the World Series. I should say of the World Series and really of the entire playoffs. He hit 5 home runs in the World Series that year. Hit 380 for the Astros. You think maybe he knew what pitches were coming? You can now wonder aloud, can't you? Here he was moments ago in the clubhouse.
We have how much remorse we have, you know, on the heels of kind of what Alex and Jose talked about. You know, I'm sorry that we're in this situation today. I regret the fact that we are in this situation today. You know, I feel horrible for our sport, our game, you know, our fans, our city, our organization, you know, just fans in general. The way that our team is being viewed, it's unfortunate. It was unnecessary, and you know, we're gonna try to start with today and move forward on to 2020.
George, the commissioner absolved the players in his report.
That was the worst apology I've heard yet, by the way.
Yeah.
He did not at any point say that they screwed up. He did not say, I'm sorry for what we did. He said, I'm sorry we're in this situation, as if they just fell into this situation.
Yeah, we were at the zoo and we fell into the lion pit. How did that happen?
I feel horrible for our game, for the sport, and for fans. Yeah, because of what you did. Where's the part where you're saying that you did it? You, George Springer, and your teammates. You guys. The way our team is being viewed. I'm sorry for that. As if they're being viewed in a way that they shouldn't be. At no point does he come out and say, I'm sorry for our actions. I'm sorry that we cheated. I'm sorry that we created this ability to steal signs.
Move forward on to 2020.
George, the commissioner absolved the players in his report. Mr. Crane was doing the same during his press conference, basically saying this isn't on the players. Why didn't players speak up? Why didn't players say this was wrong?
We haven't been together. You know, we've all been separated. We've been all over the country at home, and I think it's more important to stand together as a team and try and send one message as opposed to being spread out and you know, saying different things. But I think our message is clear. You know, we regret everything. The amount of a remorse is very, very apparent and very, very obvious.
That's George Springer, who is the World Series MVP with 5 home runs in the 2017 series when the Astros were cheating. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've got a double play coming your way at 11:45. We're blitzing at noon today. More from the clubhouse, more comments from the Astros as the day continues. We've also got some NFL news to tend to next right here on the Fan.
Z.
seems like a good day to remind you that the Nationals celebrated the World Series at Minute Maid Park in the infield in Houston in the Astros ballpark, where they went 4-0 during the World Series.
That is correct. They danced in that clubhouse because they won against those SOBs.
We'll get back into the Astros apologies, if you want to call them that, at the podium today, and the question and answer sessions that are ongoing in the clubhouse in just a bit. But we're not done discussing that on this Thursday on Grant and Danny. But there is some NFL news to tend to, so we wanted to bring our buddy Nate Davis on from USA Today Sports to break all of it down. Nate, I want to start with Matt Stafford, who's been one of the more consistent quarterbacks in the NFL over the last decade or so statistically. Obviously fell into some injury problems with the Lions last year. There was a rumor that he could be traded. The Lions are saying that's not the case. We've already got huge quarterback names that could be on the move this offseason. Could Stafford be one of them?
Yeah, good to be with you, fellas. I mean, he could be. My good colleague Dave Burkett, the Detroit Free Press, kind of got the word from the team today that, 100% false narrative, according to them, that he is going to be traded, that they're working on it. But and that being said, I'm not sure how much sense it makes to trade Matt Stafford. I think he's 32. He's had back issues the past 2 years now. But you kind of mentioned it, Grant. I mean, this is a buyer's market this year for quarterbacks. I mean, you got old quarterbacks out there. You got, younger quarterbacks out there, meaning like Jameis Winston or Teddy Bridgewater or those guys. And then you got guys in the draft. So I think this is not the year to move Matt Stafford, because I think you're probably going to get 75 cents on the dollar for him. And that said, he's still pretty good. I know some people don't think all that highly of him, but he's got all the ability in the world. His teammates love him to death. And the Lions were, frankly, a very competitive team with him last year before he got hurt. They lost their last 8 games when he was out of the lineup, but they were a 500 team playing a lot of close games prior to that. So, you can see why there would be interest in him.
Nate, who's the first domino that's got to fall, right? Because everybody's need is going to be based on, what decision maybe they make with someone returning. I'm thinking of like a Jameis Winston or a Tom Brady or something like that, right? If Tampa decides to keep Winston, that's going to affect what a lot of other teams do, I think. Is that the key domino, or is it somebody else to you, the first one that's got to fall that's going to set this whole board up?
Well, like you're saying, Danny, I think the dominoes are going to kind of be sequential as they always are. But, I mean, we're going to kind of learn here. I believe the franchise tag window opens February 25th. And, we're going to learn, we expect Dak Prescott to get franchised. We'll be exclusive. We'll not be exclusive, And then, will Winston be franchised, or do they go with Shaq Barrett? Will Ryan Tannehill be franchised, or do the Titans go with Derrick Henry? So I think the franchise tag window is probably going to take some of these guys out of play. But after that, I mean, we know Drew Brees can't be tagged. I can't imagine he's going anywhere but the Saints or to the house. I think Brady's going to do his due diligence. He can't be tagged either. And he's going to at least kind of go see what's the grass greener on the other side. But you got, intriguing guys out there. I mean, I suspect James Winston is going to make it to the market. I think teams should take a real hard look at Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, and you don't have to pay guys like that necessarily the $30 million premium. And I think Bridgewater in particular, who, is a guy that's not going to turn the ball over. He's still only 27. He went 5-0 this year in Breeze's stead. I mean, if I'm the Chargers or I'm the Colts or maybe even the Bucks or a team like that, I'm definitely going to take a long look at Teddy Bridgewater and see if I can maybe not have to pay ridiculous quarterback money and have a guy I know I can trust back there who's young and still have the wherewithal to build up other parts of my team and try to win that way.
Nate Davis of USA Today Sports on Grant and Danny. One of my huge questions about the quarterback market is Tom Brady and how much good football he's got left in him. Last year, he was not special in any way. How much of that was the deterioration of his skills versus his supporting cast?
The cop-out answer, I guess, Brandon, is probably a little bit of both. But, I mean, I would suggest it was the same the year before when they won the Super Bowl. I mean, they won Super Bowl 53 against the Rams based on strong running game and defense. I mean, 13-3 in that game. And then the Patriots really took off late in that season when they basically gave the ball to Sony Michel and Brady got out of the way. So, but that's not to say I don't think he can come in and help you. And again, I mean, if you look at a team like the Chargers, who've got a tremendous supporting cast of players on both sides of the ball, play in California where Brady's from, and could really use a guy that could boost their season ticket sales and get their fan base excited. You know, obviously we all know that usually the Chargers play 16 road games a year. You could see where he would have a lure like that. I mean, I know some people have thrown out the 49ers. You know, I can't really see that happening. But, I mean, if I was Brady, yeah, I'd at least go out and kind of see what the interest is in me. But, again, I think if you're doing that, you got to be a team that has enough players, you know, on your roster. Again, you think about the Colts maybe, but you got enough on your roster that you can compete immediately if you stick Tom Brady in your lineup, and not because you expect him to be like the guy. You expect him to be kind of the guy that drives the bus.
Nate, the draft complicates this also, because this looks like a pretty good year, especially with Tua getting himself a clean bill of health, and I'm betting you Herbert wows people at workouts and starts flying up boards. How might that complicate things in terms of some of these veterans, or maybe the musical chairs for somebody to be outside looking in? Like, the Colts may not be able to trade up enough, but maybe the Chargers could, sitting there at six. So what do you think the draft will complicate things?
Well, yeah, and that's what I said earlier, Danny. I mean, I think this is definitely a buyer's market year, because there are so many options from the 38-year-old quarterbacks to the 27-year-old quarterbacks to these kids in the draft. And I mean, I think, you know, people are already kind of looking out. Jordan Love being another one. There's probably four guys right now that look like they could be first round picks in the draft. And, you know, I think the way you look at it right now, we all kind of expect Burrow to go number one and Chase Young to go number two to the hometown Redskins here. But I think the Lions at number three, you know, that's probably part of the Stafford thing. Is they're in position to take a younger guy if they want, or they're in position to probably entice a team like the Chargers if they want to jump up and take Tua ahead of Miami, where we've all got a slotted going right now. And like you said too, Danny, I mean, heck, I mean, if Tua's hip does check out and he's able to, you know, hearing that he's a month away from getting on the field and doing stuff, who's to say the Bengals won't fall in love with him and Joe Burrow slides and somebody wants to go get him? I mean, you know, the enticing thing there is do the Carolina Panthers somehow make a play for Joe Burrow, given that Joe Brady is now their offensive coordinator after jumping from LSU? So it's going to be a fascinating couple months here of musical chair quarterbacks, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see where all the chips fall.
Yeah, it could be one of the biggest quarterback off seasons ever, honestly. Nate Davis on Grant and Danny. What's the specific rule that prevents Breeze and Brady from getting tagged?
They both got provisions in their contracts saying okay. That, you know, they could not be tagged by
so
the team.
There's nothing so, like if you're with a team for X amount of years, or you know, you have so many years in the league that you can't be tagged.
No, I think it's something that you got to get in writing that the team cannot do it. So that's what it is for those guys.
Smart. Hey Nate, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, take care, fellas.
Thanks, Nate.
Be well. There's Nate Davis, USA Today Sports is where you can find him. We are going to get back into the Astros cheating scandal. It is the number one story of the day, not just in the national sports landscape, but also here in D.C., where the Astros lost to the Nats in the World Series, and many players with the Nats have come out since talking about how annoyed and frustrated they are by what the Astros were doing. Next, our double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. For our double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
I've got a Space Rocks of Death asteroid story, and it's in the holster, okay? But I'm doing another space story today. This is weird. It's from the New York Post. A mysterious object 500 million light years away. So just a quick translation. The distance light travels in 1 year, 500 million of those. That's an incredibly vast distance. That's huge.
When I hear you say that, it freaks me out about how big the planet is.
See what I'm saying?
Or not the planet.
The galaxy. The universe.
The galaxy, the universe, this whole thing. So light in a year, I can't even in my mind wrap my head around how far that would be in terms of miles. Just so many miles. 500 million times that.
You basically need to know this. 3 million meters per second is the speed of light.
Use a like a term that I would use in my life. Meters is fairly irrelevant to me.
Okay.
Feet. Use feet. We use feet here.
Okay. So triple that, basically. That's a rough. These are all very rough estimates now.
Okay.
Let's go with about 1 billion feet per second. 1 billion feet per second.
A billion?
Yeah.
It seems like so many feet.
186,282 miles per second. And is this... And doing anything
so
for
you? So, in the grand scheme of the universe, is the Earth basically like a marble?
Yes. That's why the end of Men in Black was so brilliant. Do you remember? They opened up the locker, that weird alien that was
a
tiny marble.
A little bit.
It always does. How insignificant we are. And by the way, we're angry about the Astros, and we're a fleck of dust on the universe's shoe.
Like 16 planets from here that we don't know about, 84 marbles away. There's like a team playing some sport that cheated, having a press conference today, and they're like,
yeah, like Jim
and that
Crane.
Means like we are really mad about it.
Can you believe what Jim Crane said or didn't say? But 186,000 miles, give or take, per second.
Did you like my alien voice?
It was a great alien voice. I bought it.
That's their language.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
So that's 186,000 miles per second. So then you get how many, 60 seconds. Now you just went an untold amount. Now you add up an hour, you went an untold amount. Then you add up years of this. 500 million light years. This couldn't be further away at all. Has baffled scientists after transmitting signals that hit Earth every 16 days. Scientists do not know what is causing the phenomenon, but it is recognized as the first reliable pattern of fast radio bursts in deep space. These newly discovered radio bursts repeat their activity every 16 days. Not every 14 days. It's not every minute. It's not every hour. Every 16 days, which suggests, of course, that somebody's controlling them. Researchers have so far found over 100 types of fast radio bursts, but only 10 of those have been seen to repeat, and none have shown any consistent tempo. Astrophysicists, members of my team, discovered the pattern in data from the Canadian Hydrogen Intensity Mapping Experiment, or CHIME, you heard me talk about CHIME before, radio telescope in British Columbia. So while they're, just up going up and down the ice and worried about our shifts, in between that, they're looking at these intergalactic planetary radio waves. In this particular instance, around one or two radio bursts will blast out per hour for 4 days before going silent for 16 days. Then the cycle repeats itself. These bursts were recently traced to a spiral galaxy nearly 500 million light years away from Earth. Duncan Lorimer, an astrophysicist at West Virginia University in Morgantown, told Science News, quote, "This is very significant," end quote. Here's the deal. Somebody's tapping out some kind of code and they're repeating it or waiting or it's automated. After a certain interval of time, it's not just some steady stream. It's not some satellite that went out and now is just, transmitting something back, or it's not some wormhole that opened up from about 500 million light years away in a galaxy that's unreachable in our
lifetimes. Far, far away.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing that could happen while you and I are alive that we could have something that could reach it in terms of a man craft or a probe or anything else. We could shoot radio waves back.
If we sent someone now, they'd get there like millions of years from now.
They would be long dead. They'd be ghosts.
So my team that's working on this tells me this is not in any way anybody sending anything. They think that basically this is just an unexplainably wacky thing. So they're assuming someone's sending these pulses, but they don't think that it's actually manned, if you will, that nobody's actually involved. So my team is speculating.
So that sounds good, but the rigidity of the interval basically bunks your theory right out of there.
Yeah,
you can't have a naturally occurring phenomenon at that regular interval.
Some things can't be explained by our reason and our fact here, because the further you get away in this crazy place, I think rules are different.
We need Matthew McConaughey shouting Murph a lot to figure this one out.
So just know that, yeah, I'm not buying this one.
What aren't you buying?
I don't think anybody's manning that thing. I think there are things out there for sure, but okay. I don't. This specific like speck of light or whatever is being sent our way, I think it's just kind of a random thing that we can't explain. So this is our hypothesis. This is not a foregone conclusion. But I've got another takeaway from this, if you would allow. My takeaway from this is you're always so concerned about us getting hit by an asteroid.
Yes.
You're always so concerned about the world coming to an end by way of something hurling toward us at a high rate of speed that we're not going to determine is on a trajectory to hit us in
That's
time.
Right.
You know that we do have Harry Stamper.
We don't have that.
Motley Fictional crew character. To save us, obviously. But we know about this little object that is how far away?
Well, the signal's coming from 500 million miles away. We don't know what's sending it.
We know about this object and this signal, and we're tracking these pulses and these signals that are coming back toward us from basically decades away, for lack of a better phrase. We're probably going to be okay. Because we've got really smart people protecting us at all times.
Now,
I have faith in them, unlike you.
This is a great segue into how incorrect you are and how right I've been the whole time. We don't need protection from radio waves. Nobody's dying of radio waves.
You're right about that.
No dinosaur doesn't walk this planet anymore because radio waves at 16-day intervals hit. They don't live here anymore because a space rock of death took their asses out.
You're correct.
That's why we need to worry about one.
Do you
want to
know why that
other.
Happened?
Why is that?
Because when that space rock killed everything at that time, NASA didn't exist yet. And we didn't have a bunch of scientists in white jackets walking around computing and determining where all these things were that were issues and how we can prevent them from hitting us. And we didn't have a team of oil drillers who we could put on.
And we still don't.
We absolutely do.
We don't. It's
we have oil drillers all over the world.
It's Bruce Willis's 12th best movie. That's what you're referencing.
No, I'm referencing Armageddon, but the movie itself could work, obviously.
It could not.
We get oil drillers. We send them up. We land them on the asteroid. And they drill 800 feet in, large enough into this hole to then shoot a nuclear weapon. This warhead, this bomb gets shot. It splits the asteroid into two pieces. And if we do it by a certain time, it narrowly misses us with one piece going to each side of us. That's the way we solve this. We didn't have that ability with the dinosaurs.
And we still don't now.
We absolutely have that ability.
We have a B-minus script.
We have astronauts. We have oil drillers. We have spaceships that can land on asteroids. We have nuclear warheads. We have it all. We got everything we need.
We do have warheads.
We're smarter than we've ever been. That's your double play, Grant and Danny, on 106.7 The Fan. Back 9 of the show next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.